The first well in the Marcellus Shale was drilled in 2004, but the full-scale gas rush in Pennsylvania started about 3 years ago. For this, you can credit the work of two geologists. In particular, it was one calculation they made that changed everything. Here's the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier.
Terry Engelder teaches at Penn State University. Gary Lash is a professor at SUNY Fredonia in western New York. The two men are experts in Devonian shales. These are layers of rock laid down millions of years before the first dinosaurs appeared. For years, the two men worked in relative obscurity. Gary Lash says no one paid much attention to these rocks.
It was shale. And for a long time, industry wasn't too interested in shale. Shale was often the thing you had to drill through to get down to the sandstone or limestone reservoirs.
Lash's colleague at Penn State, Terry Engelder, was one of the foremost experts on one particular layer of this rock, the Marcellus Shale. In the 1990s, he and some graduate students looked at the natural fractures inside this Marcellus Shale in a new way.
These fractures were driven by high-pressure gas in the rocks. This is the same gas that is the methane of the Marcellus.
Now, everyone knew there was gas inside this rock, but could it be extracted? It could, through the fractures Engelder studied. This was proven in the 1990s in Texas. There, new drilling methods like hydraulic fracturing, aka fracking, tapped deep underground gas reserves. In 2004, the energy firm Range Resources fracked its first well in Pennsylvania. Oil and gas investors started taking note. In 2007, Engelder got a phone call.
A Wall Street analyst called me up and said, "Would you like to talk to some of our clients about the Marcellus?"
It was an energy analyst with Jefferies, a securities and investment banking group.
It was a conference call, and one person asked if he knew how much natural gas the Marcellus might hold.
And I didn't know at that particular point in time, but thought that might be a really important question, and so sat down and did a back-of-the-envelope calculation.
The number he came up with was quite high, and he wasn't sure about it, so he called me up and asked me to do a calculation.
And he did, and came to pretty much the same conclusion that I did.
Lash used two different methods to make two separate calculations to come up with a more accurate number. Keep in mind, the best estimate at the time was from the U.S. Geological Survey, the authority for this kind of thing.
Theirs was 2.7 trillion cubic feet, and our estimate was in a range of 500 trillion cubic feet.
If correct, this would be enough to provide the entire United States with natural gas for 20 years. This is a big number.
We have this supergiant natural gas field in the northeast United States, very close to the market, and in a location where you already had a pretty robust pipeline infrastructure in place.
Terry Engelder.
The Marcellus is going to be far richer than anything in any indication in the literature at that particular point in time.
Word of his estimate reached Engelder's bosses at Penn State. Then the university did what big universities tend to do in this situation. They put out a press release, and the press responded in kind. Reporters called, and they wrote stories about Marcellus Shale.
When that Penn State release came out, that press release came out in January 2008, it changed our lives forever. Now, all of a sudden, I think the same day the Penn State release came out, UPI picked it up, and then it's off to the races.
It wasn't just reporters who were interested. Oil and gas men came calling, too.
A number of these people wishing to lease land called me and said, where should you go to lease land? Where should we go to lease land? What is the richest land? What is the sweet spot in the Marcellus?
He told them, start in northeast Pennsylvania and draw a curve through the state down to the southwest corner.
Clinton Center, Indiana. Westmoreland, over to Greene and Washington and down into Marshall County in West Virginia. You try anywhere in there, and you're likely to find Marcellus in an economic quantity. I mean, it was that spectacular, that big.
Well, I think that people knew about the Marcellus. I think industry knew that it had some great potential. What we did was we brought it to light.
Drillers and land agents flooded into the state, and the rush was on. In 1 year, lease prices shot up from $50 an acre to $8,000. Many Pennsylvanians made money by selling their gas rights. But not all the changes have been so welcome. Well blowouts, water pollution, and all that truck traffic are the downsides of the gas boom. Still, Engler says, he did the right thing for Pennsylvania and for the country.
This is an opportunity for America.
Engler says the Marcellus could help the country become more energy independent. He sees our foreign policy as too focused on protecting access to foreign oil. Engler views the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan through the prism of British thermal units, or BTUs. A BTU, of course, is a standard measurement of energy.
Frankly, I'd rather not have my grandchildren losing their lives in a place like Iraq or Afghanistan trying to protect BTUs when, in fact, those BTUs are present here in the United States and they're American BTUs.
Engler says his contribution was to sell Americans on all those homegrown BTUs.
I think that's something I take a great deal of pride in, and obviously wouldn't change that for the world.
For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.